COVID is a great issue for threading this needle that you've always talk about, because not only was he a bad president, but he was a bad president because he had these corrupt motives for not responding well.
Bad for you, like the normal middle class American, you, the average pooping citizen who wants to be able to wipe their butt with toilet paper.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a free preview of the Politics Podcast. So we've seen some evidence in recent days that Joe Biden's running behind Donald Trump, in part because a chunk of Trump-Biden voters plan, for now at least, to switch back to Donald Trump. So in this episode, Matt and I will discuss how and why voters who 4 years ago abandoned Trump over mostly, I think, his pandemic failures, how they have come to a revised view and a sense of sort of Trump nostalgia. So what actually happened in 2020? How much of it was Donald Trump's fault? And how can Democrats convince those swingy voters that their instincts were right the first time around? We hope you enjoy the conversation. And if you like what you're hearing and you want to listen to the whole episode, you can upgrade your subscription to paid at politics.fm. Hello and welcome to the Politics Podcast. I'm Brian Beutler.
I'm Matthew Iglesias.
So you know, if you're a regular listener, that Joe Biden is losing the election.
Yes.
Polls last week confirmed this. The New York Times Siena poll, which has a pretty good track record, I think it's highly thought of, had Biden down 5 points, 48 to 43. And in their write-up, the Times noted, quote, Trump is winning 97% of those who say they voted for him 4 years ago, and virtually none of his past supporters said they are casting a ballot for Mr. Biden. In contrast, Mr. Biden is winning only 83% of his 2020 voters, with 10% saying they now back Mr. Trump. So a chunk of Biden voters are saying they're swing voters, and they're looking at Donald Trump again. Now, you can quibble with this or that, but it's consistent with an overall picture where swing voters had had enough of Trump by November 2020, but now think maybe what's come since is in some way worse. And I think a lot of that is just voters marinating in a bunch of bullshit and propaganda. But it does seem like the propaganda or whatever it is has had the effect of making many voters reassess just how bad Trump allowed things to get in 2020.
Something interesting that I have seen, not in the Siena poll, but in other polls, is that retroactive evaluations of the Trump administration have gotten better over the course of this past winter. They're still negative. I mean, Trump is underwater. He is unpopular. It's mostly a battle between people who say they disapprove of both candidates. But people have started looking more fondly on Trump. And there could be a lot of different reasons for that. But, you know, this week, first week of March, I always remember it because my son's birthday is March 5th. And on March 5th, 2020, we hosted a fifth birthday party for him. And we were like, quote unquote, like worried about the new coronavirus at that point. So we had like lots of hand sanitizer and like scoops so that we could give kids snacks rather than reaching into the bowl. But it was right before, you know, the country went into like
it dawned on you that it was worse than just
COVID mode.
Hand sanitizer time.
You know, they canceled school. My employer at the time sent me home with a fancy mic so that I could do my podcast from my basement. And so that means that starting this month, any kind of comparison that asks, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Right, is gonna have this kind of like funny quality. Like the labor market was in the toilet. The unemployment rate soared to double digits. I was in my basement. You know, like my kid's school was closed. Like I am dramatically better off than I was by April 2024. I and everyone else in America will be dramatically better off than we were in April 2020. And now, obviously, I am not enough of a hack to say that 100% of what was bad about life in April, June, July, August of 2020 is Donald Trump's fault. But at the time, I felt, and most Americans felt, I mean, if you look at the polls at the time, that Trump was doing a bad job with COVID, right? Not that like Trump didn't personally cook up the virus in his lab, but that like the country faced a major crisis and Trump did not handle it well. And I remember I wrote a piece early in the pandemic, and I said that like the first 3 years of Trump's presidency, it kept seeming like totally insane things were happening in the news and like a dangerous incompetent was running the government. But if you turned the news off and just lived your life, life in America in 2017, 2018, 2019 was pretty copacetic. You know,
for most people. I mean, Trump did like genuinely abuse a subset of the population.
If you looked at charts and graphs, there was no huge change
from late
Obama to early
steady
Trump.
As she goes.
But then the question was always like, what's going to happen if this maniac has to deal with a crisis situation? Or at least that was one question. And crises kept not really materializing. And then COVID came and we had the maniac in charge, right? Like he did not deliver speeches that rallied the nation around a sense of purpose. People did not feel good about his leadership during the pandemic. And most people, I mean, this was in the surveys, and it's also just like the people I knew, they really felt, you know, people had different opinions about like Biden's climate agenda, you know, but like the thing that was like front of mind was that we were going to have like competent, you know, responsible stewardship of this national crisis that we were still in. And if you look at the early things the Biden administration did, the reason the first big bill Democrats passed is called the American Rescue Plan, is that like the country was in a state of crisis and they offered a legislative solution to that crisis as well as an executive branch solution. And clearly, I think, you know, you talk about Trump. Trump at a rally yesterday, he said, we had the strongest economy in the world when I was president. And the Biden-Harris HQ Twitter account, they made it out like he had like forgotten that unemployment was high under his watch or something. But like that's clearly not what's going on. What Trump is saying when he says stuff like that, and what Trump supporters say, is that he deserves to not have those 2020 stats count against it. That the real Trump baseline should be, are you better off than you were in February 2020? Rather than October 2020. And, you know, I think we should talk about how we got there, because it's a mix of mediagenic things, but I also do think real things that have altered people's perception of that period in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I have a personal axe to grind with Trump, because like I didn't personally need like a president to convince me to be a good citizen and to whatever, like stay away from people, stay home, whatever. But like, we found out through reporting that Bob Woodward was sitting on that he knew well before March that this was an airborne virus, that it was very bad, that it was going to, you know, had a potential to be highly disruptive. He was saying a totally different thing in public because he didn't want the stock market to crash. He didn't want his like soybean negotiations with China to go south. And then because of that, like the shutdown that like now gets like has been retconned into this bad thing, but that was absolutely necessary at the time, happened later than it probably ought to have. And I mean, like the personal consequence I'm thinking of is that my wife took the metro to work in February, late February, got COVID when there were no tests because there was no preparedness. I got it from her, and like I get to have permanent lung damage because Donald Trump didn't want the stock market to crash, right? Like, so like I have a like a direct grievance with him over how it went. And I don't think that that's the norm, but I think that there are definitely many Americans who felt not just he's botching it in some, his behavior about it is improper, but that he put people's lives at risk. And like in the 2020 campaign, when this was a big vulnerability for him, Joe Biden, I didn't think that his rhetoric about it was perfect. He didn't like knock Trump for intentionally botching the early pandemic response. He said Trump choked, you know, like he wasn't up to it. fine, whatever. But he did make a point of saying that this was his big test and he failed. And then Trump, in the years since he left office, hasn't gone around saying, like, actually, I crushed it. You know, he's been saying the economy was excellent when I was president, and look what's happened since. But so that's his way of saying, I didn't, like, don't count 2020. Also, I didn't really botch the pandemic. And like what Biden did is, I think, a pretty good job picking up like what Trump left him and leaving us in a much better place. But like, because people got so sick of COVID and thinking about it, and it was this big trauma, his political decision was, let's just put, like, call a truce, essentially, put COVID in the rear view and move on to other stuff. And that, I think, is the void in which, like, people's Trump nostalgia was allowed to ferment. Because there was no like consistent reminder. No. It was really bad, and it was really bad, at least in large part, because Trump made it bad.
But so, I mean, you know, I'm glad you started with that story, because I think one thing about this is that different people had different experiences of the pandemic and had different feelings at different points in time and had different sort of, like, you know, moments of, like, acute concern with the direction of the country, right? I behaved in late February and early March in ways that I would not have behaved had Trump been, as you say, like, ringing the alarm bells earlier, right? There's a world in which Trump could have said, this virus coming out of China is very dangerous. We believe it is airborne. We do not believe that the Chinese containment is going to work. I am, like, scrambling the jets, right, to, like, get tests, get masks, you know, everybody should be taking precautions, like, ASAP.
Shit that would have won him election by 60.
But I mean, I'm just like saying, but here's what I'm saying. I didn't do any of that stuff, and, like, I didn't get COVID, and my wife didn't get COVID, and so it was fine for me. I would, like, write an article, if you asked me, be like, should Trump have moved 3 weeks earlier? Sure. But, like, it didn't impact. What did impact me is that, you know, schools were closed in the spring of 2020, which I feel like sort of had to be done given the situation. And then over the summer, you know, I wrote a bunch of articles, and a lot of people who kind of, like, care about education and stuff like that, we were writing stuff about how it was important for the country to prioritize kind of getting schools reopened. And that then didn't happen in DC and other kind of Democratic governed jurisdictions. And I wasn't thrilled about it, but I understood. I understood why people didn't want to do it, even though I disagreed with them. Then the election happened. Biden became president. He included a bunch of funding in the rescue plan by January that was, like, labeled in the bill that it was, like, money for school reopening, but it didn't carry any requirement that, like, schools actually reopen. And then teachers unions in many jurisdictions around the country, including Washington, D.C., like, really, really pushed hard against reopening. And Biden didn't, like, do anything to push back against them. He didn't, like, put Miguel Cardona out there to shame them. He didn't say anything. You know, he was doing his sort of, like, Dem coalitional politics and not talking about it. And, you know, the DC schools reopened eventually. We were by no means the last jurisdiction to do it. I have various complaints about our mayor, but I think she showed good leadership on that topic. And, you know, it worked out mostly fine. But, like, to me, one of my last moment of being really mad about COVID was being mad about the Washington Teachers Union, being mad about Randy Weingarten, and to an extent being mad about Joe Biden, and being annoyed that Democrats had, like, put this school money into their big COVID bill, but hadn't actually gotten anything done about it. And so that whole feeling on my part is, like, that's not inconsistent with what you said. Like, these are two different things that happened a year apart. But I think that my experience is probably more typical of like the last time we remember being angry at the president because of what he was doing about COVID, it was being angry about Joe Biden for being too much of a COVID hawk. And that's why the Biden administration ended up slinking away from COVID. You know, at a certain point, right? They lost a couple cases in court. They just sort of were like, eh. And it's made it hard for them. It's made them not want to prosecute the argument about February, March, April, May of 2020, because they don't want to reopen the disputes about the stuff that happened under their administration. And now it's like election day, and it isn't election day. It's election year.
There's some time left.
And I'm freaking out because, like, I really do think that, like, Trump was mishandling this quite badly. And I wish that we had more of a, like, real retrospective and accounting on what he did there. But I also, I see how we got here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that this was just because we're doing this whole episode because we wanted to have a more substantive conversation than just a tactical one. And, like, I wish that we had had at some point like something like the 9/11 commission, you know, to like really look back and say, well, look, like everybody from Trump. Fauci,
did you know that there was? Did you know that there was a congressional coronavirus subcommittee?
No,
there was. Democrats created a subcommittee on the coronavirus that held basically no public hearings. It was chaired by Jim Clyburn. They actually, their report is great. It's really good. But it was one of these things where, like, because they didn't want it to be this big looking backwards spectacle, they buried it in a select subcommittee, did some, you know, interviews with the principals who said some wild things, revealed a bunch of wild things. They put in a report, released the report, and it was like, our work here is done.
Oh, here we go. Okay. So they put it out in December 9th of 2022, which is not when you put things out to get it. But you're talking, we were trying to have a more substantive episode, but I'm saying like, this was not an effort at, like, a fair thing to say about COVID, right? Is that like all the people in the world, right? Like Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, they all had to deal with an unfamiliar situation that, like, none of them, like, got into politics because they, like, wanted to make pandemic policy. And Anthony Fauci and Birx and whoever ran the CDC and, you know, the public health commissioner of Oregon, like, everyone was dealing with an uncertain situation. When you're dealing with an uncertain situation, you can't just say, like, I'm not going to do anything until I have, like, really solid experimental evidence. You have to make decisions in real time. They don't all go well. It would have been really nice to have a serious, you know, bipartisan, rigorous effort to look at questions like, why was the testing situation so fucked up in 2020, right? And, like, in part, the fucked up testing situation reflects poorly on Donald Trump, who was president at the time and could have fixed these things. But at least as I understand it, it also, like, demonstrates certain right-wing points about the FDA, or however you call the points. But what we wound up doing on this was, like, nothing, right? Like, nothing at all has been changed about American public policy with regard to how you would license tests for...
No, it's like the hope is essentially that, like, the next pandemic is so similar to COVID that we adopt the good things, the successful parts of the COVID response that came later, and don't make the...
And it'll just, like, who knows, right? And, like,
yeah, but if Trump is president again, it will go just as badly, most likely, because he will have other priorities besides leveling with people.
I still think, like, Trump is irresponsible. But, I mean, what I think has been bipartisan about this is everyone wanting to act like, huh, that was weird. You know, like act as if there's no policy, or sorry, conservatives will act like the only problem here is that progressives tried to do something about it. And, like, next time there's a virus, we'll just do literally nothing. And somehow that will all be fine. So
it's bleeding into, like,
And now they don't want to take measles endemic, vaccines.
Endemic disease. Right. Yeah, right. Let's get to that, because I mean, like, insofar as the goal here is to stay on substance to the greatest extent possible, like, it does carry over. Like, there's current things happening in this election around the question of public health that I think provide Democrats an opportunity to be like, hey, we should review 2020 with fresh eyes again. So what happened to me is obviously a less common experience than what happened to people who have children. I think that, like, if there had been a different approach, a more aggressive, let's reopen the schools thing, let's say it was just like timed. I mean, to me, like, looking in from the outside, it was sort of like vaccines came online and then there was a push to reopen the schools, which makes a degree of logical sense to me, even if I know that means that there's tens of millions of people who are like struggling with educating their children and taking care of their children all day and having multiple responsibilities collide. But there's a world in which Biden tried to open the schools like the first week of his presidency, say, and like it was chaos because lots of people just wouldn't send their kids to school unvaccinated. Lots of teachers wouldn't have shown up. They would have left their jobs or whatever. And that would then be the millstone around Biden's neck.
No, but I mean, not the vaccines, right? So, like, here's an article from June of 2021, right? And it's Newsom, 99% of schools to reopen fully in fall.
Fall
of 2021. Right.
Yeah,
but, like,
because
the vaccines
but then,
were
because
available.
The vaccines were April. Like, yeah, I mean, it's the school year, so it's a little weird.
I'm just saying, like, you know, like I think, and like this is where I think like a lot of Trump nostalgia like comes from is that like yeah like people felt in October 2020 when there were no vaccines. That like Trump was being, because there's, you're talking like Trump was being like chaotic, inept, in some ways malicious, right? In like winter 2020. But then by summer, fall of 2020, it was like, he was just like all over the map. You know what I mean? Like he was, wore a mask one day. And like his whole team was like, we just won the election with these badass masks. But then he wouldn't like encourage people to wear masks. You know what I mean? Like he wouldn't say like in a speech, like, guys, obviously we don't want like a mask Gestapo knocking down people's doors and like putting tape on their faces. But like, let's be real, like wear a mask. Like it's fine. If you're not as worried about COVID as somebody else.
When he was hospitalized at Walter Reed, he's like infectious with this. And like we would later find out he had infected everyone and knew he had COVID and went and debated Joe Biden. But he like went to Walter Reed and like had somebody take a picture of him sitting at his desk working hard without a mask on. It was crazy.
There was just tons of back and forths. Like he was saying we need to liberate Michigan on the one hand and like creating a dangerous situation up there. But also at the time he wanted to liberate Michigan, quote unquote, like all national parks were closed, which was like under his authority. And like he could have just let people go walk around outside. But he was like, he's just really bad at the job. You know, he can't like think things through in any terms other than friend and enemy. So like when Xi Jinping was his friend, like everything China did was amazing. When Gretchen Whitmer was his enemy, everything she did was horrible. And he can't like evaluate Gretchen. It was bad. Anyway, I grant all that. Joe Biden eventually became president, right? And like some things that Biden did, you know, like Joe Biden is pro-choice. And so some people disagree with him about abortion, but the people who agree with him were just like, okay, here we go. I just like, I was not as happy with Biden's handling of COVID issues as I thought I was going to be. You know, like Joe Biden was much, 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 much more of a COVID hawk once vaccines were available than I thought he should be, or that I, in my, you know, you vote for somebody, you project your hopes and dreams onto them. And like, I thought that Joe Biden was going to get America more organized, which he did do, get vaccines distributed, which he did do, and then just sort of like call the pandemic off, which he eventually did like 2 years later. But he dragged us through.
Let's put a pin in that.
An extended period that I just disagreed with on the merits.
Let's put a pin in that because I think that he didn't just wait 2 years. He tried. He tried to say pandemic's done shortly after the vaccines came out, and it kind of blew up in their face. But before we talk about that, I want to dwell on this issue because, like, I take your point, and I think it's true to an extent that, like, the last time any voters were angry at a president about some aspect of the COVID response, the president was Joe Biden.
And to be clear, there's also people who are angry at Biden from the other direction.
Yes,
The way this ended.
What I'm talking about is the people who were pissed at Trump at first became pissed. Right. Like the last time they were pissed at a president, it was Biden. You know, it's at one level we are telling people Donald Trump is more popular than he's been in years, and people have Trump nostalgia because memories are short. And now we're also trying to tell them that part of the reason Joe Biden is suffering relative to Donald Trump is because people's memories are actually long and they remember how they felt about COVID in 2021. And I just think that, like, your thesis on this imagines that voters, in making their decisions, block off anything that they might have heard from the media or from their lawmakers.
They're just like,
try to remember how it felt, and then scoring side by side, they give Trump.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. I think right now I support short memories. I think people aren't thinking about COVID. But I think that if Biden tried to join an argument with Trump on COVID, right? Like, I think it would be very tricky for him, because I think every Republican agrees about COVID at this point. Right, like what they would say.
It's actually not true. But like, there's been some interesting reporting about this. And it's not even just reporting. It's like Republican senators. They are acknowledging that they have people in their own lives. Some of them themselves have like really bad long COVID issues. And that they know it's a problem, and that they want to earmark funding to research it, to give help to people who are dealing with it, but they can't talk about, it's forbidden in Republican politics to acknowledge that COVID was bad, that it created these long runs.
I'm just saying, it's like you and I, right? Like, we are often here on this podcast, like, disagreeing about some aspect of like political strategy or something like that. But it's like, I think like we just like disagree about COVID. Like, we disagree about Joe Biden's approach to COVID. I think it's like embarrassing that the only reason the airplane mask mandates ended was that he lost in court to Republicans, you know? And like, I thank the lucky stars for the right-wing judiciary that saved us from the Biden administration's overreach on this stuff. And like, I think it's a tough argument. I think that if Republicans had a nominee who wasn't Trump, they might be able to use this as a winning issue against Biden. I think that if Democrats had a nominee who wasn't Biden, they might be able to use it as a winning issue against Trump. But I think it's like a tricky political topic, because I don't think either president like actually did a great job on the merits of this. I do think the idea that the Trump economy was amazing is like insane. It's like people were financially protected by Democrats during that time. Like, the reason we didn't have mass starvation is that like Trump agreed to sign legislation that Ron Wyden and Nancy Pelosi mostly wrote. But I think I just, to me, like, the COVID argument is a tough one, because like, I'm just like profoundly disappointed by how Biden handled this.
Yeah, it's not that like there aren't nits I would pick. I just think that like it basically went all right. You know, it was not like his vaccine rollout, at least round one, was pretty successful. And like, I am I'm just kind of like a go along to get along person. Like when I would go into an establishment that required masks, I would put a mask on. I didn't care. And when I would go into an establishment in like rural Virginia where nobody was wearing a mask, I would take my mask off because I didn't want to be the weirdo, right? That's just how I am. I think a lot of people are like that. And that's why when the mask mandate on airplanes fell, people just went on planes without masks. That's what I did. And I didn't think twice about it. I wasn't like, oh no, like Joe Biden's thrust me into the situation where if I'm going to travel, I'm going to be dangerous. And there were people who felt sincerely like that.
Right.
And I understand why. But I think that if you look at like what the polling said about masking, it's not that Joe Biden was ever really on the wrong side of it. It's that most people were like, oh yeah, there's a pandemic. It's probably a good idea to wear a mask. And then when the mask mandate fell, they're like, oh, it's probably not so unsafe to be without a mask.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like, here, I mean, like the reason I'm trying to have this as a substantive conversation, because like, I think the worst thing that political pundits do is assert that like their personal beefs are the cause of people's political problems. So like, I don't know how many people agree with me about this, mm-hmm. but like, I think to me, and again, maybe this is the difference between being a parent or not, right? Because like my kid did not have a choice about whether or not he had to wear a mask in elementary school. You know what I mean? Now that wasn't Biden either. That was the mayor and stuff here. But it was like, I just spent all this time being like, I wish I lived in a state that was governed by Republicans so that like young kids could see their teachers' faces and like have normal interactions with each other. And it's like, I mean, I was really annoyed by like, you're required to wear a mask in the airport, but also there's no requirement that like the masks be any good. And, you know, we now have all these like retroactive studies and they show that like the masks themselves seem to be fairly effective, but the mask mandates have almost no impact because there's no way to enforce them. There's no way to do anything. And I just like, to me, they took what was clearly a political strength, you know, in Election Day 2020. And what I think we can say about politics is that like handling the coronavirus pandemic was a strong suit for Biden when he beat Trump before. And it isn't a strong suit for him now. Whether it's just not on the issue agenda right now.
Right. So that's the thing. But then the slate is blank.
Right. But then the question is like, should you put it back in? And it's like, if I can think of like one thing that would like get me to go on social media and be like, I don't know, guys, like maybe we should bring back Trump. Like it would be like Biden making me angry by needing to relitigate the Biden administration's approach.
Look, like I think
COVID.
That if Biden was going to talk about COVID qua COVID, he would say, you know, nobody was vaccinated. Trump fucked everything up. Like people were dying by the hundreds of thousands, many of them needlessly. 4 years later, like, COVID is not a daily fixation for almost any American, and many fewer people are getting it and dying. He doesn't want to get dragged into a granular thing about when what mandate fell and whatever. And right. I think the main thing that to me got the Biden administration's politics around COVID screwed up was that like vaccines came out. And then much earlier than he anticipated, because he was talking about like maybe by 4th of July, you guys can have like families can have
right.
barbecues in the backyard together, right? But then the vaccines were effective against the like wild type COVID, so effective that when vaccination reached 50-60%, something like that, it was June. I remember I was going to a wedding in Kansas City.
Just breathing on people.
He was just like, no, it was like we were mid-flight and he was like, the CDC was like, masks off, just
right.
go into your coffee shop or your bar. If you're vaccinated, you're good. And so we landed, we went and got some dinner, everyone had masks on. The next morning, all the masks were off. And if that had been the end of it, like Joe Biden would have been
a COVID hero. So we all agree.
What
not
happened
for
instead
Delta,
is that like
everybody
the Delta
would be
variant.
Happy. But then, yes. But I mean, just like, but this is like, I've heard this from senior Biden people. Well, they'll be like, you know, people talk about Afghanistan. Matt, you've got like your whatever shtick. Brian's got his shtick. But the real thing that hurt us was Delta, right? Clearly, there's a level on which that's true, right? Like if Delta hadn't happened, Biden would have been in way better shape. By the same token, when Trump says that, like, if COVID hadn't happened, he would have been in better shape. Like, that's also true.
No, I know. But that's the thing, Biden would be way better off.
Biden would be better off if, like, Putin hadn't invaded Ukraine. But it's like, you know, your job as president is to deal with the vicissitudes of these events.
I don't think
that what Biden did, that after Delta came, like, it was tough, right? Because it divided his coalition between people who wanted to stay vaxxed and relaxed despite Delta and people who wanted to go back to a kind of like an up and down, you know, sort of like COVID restriction dynamic. Biden tried for the up and down, couldn't sell the public on that really,
right.
Then started slinking away from it. He didn't have a moment where he was like, I talked to a bunch of people and, like, we're pivoting off this. I know that some people disagree with me, but, like, it is not sustainable to try to have a bunch of federal activity restrictions in place when state governments, including blue states, are walking away from them. We're ripping the band-aid. Right. Instead, the administration started, like, not really talking about COVID. You didn't have a mask requirement on the New York City subway, but you did have it on Amtrak. You know what I mean? It was just this kind of, like, we don't want to deal with it because it's divisive kind of thing that dragged on for quite a few months in a way that was, you know, uninspired. Shall we say?
I think Joe Biden, to his credit, unlike Donald Trump, is not trying to say you can't start the clock on my presidency until, you know, mid 2022 because COVID was still a big deal.
No. I mean, I think
he's not doing that. But I think that he thought this was going to be a lasting aspect of the discrediting of Donald Trump. And, you know, making him inviable as a political candidate in the future, because he thought, okay, vaccines are working well. We can unofficially end the pandemic by telling people who are vaxxed, you can go do what you want, like go to restaurants, whatever. And then Delta variant hits, and I think that they hoped that they could reason with the public and say, for a period of time now, we're going to have to phase in and phase out these restrictions. But, like, it turned out that people got comfortable and governments got comfortable with vaxxed and relaxed as the policy, like, that would win the day. And so they decided, you know what? The politics of this has become complicated enough and we're on the wrong side of enough of them that we're just going to hope that a truce holds between us and Trump. We won't mention how badly he fucked it up. Hopefully he won't mention the things that we did wrong. Obviously, like, you can't count on Trump to honor any kind of implicit truce. And so a void developed. Like, what's the big lesson of COVID? Is it that we thought Trump was doing really bad and that a professional like Biden would come in and do better, but we were wrong and nobody could handle this unwieldy pandemic disease? Or is it that Trump fucked it up, Biden imperfectly fixed things, but people need that story. They need to know one version of the story or the other.
But this is why I brought up the indecisiveness around Delta, because I think the indecisiveness around how to handle Delta was not a, like, politics strategy. They, like, actually had trouble deciding, if you know what I mean. And I think that that is why this narrative void kind of continues to exist, right? So it's like, you're going to run against Trump again. You have to say something about the baseline comparison, right? It's just, like, going to be present in the media. Like, because Biden, we know Biden wants to say the economy is good. He wants to say the Biden jobs record is good. He wants to say that the American Rescue Plan rescued America from a crisis. You can't ultimately avoid, like, some level of engagement with COVID if you want to talk about why your presidency was better than Trump's presidency. But that means that they have to decide amongst themselves, like, what they want to say. And that means dealing with the fact that, like, people in their coalition disagree to an extent about, like, what the right thing to say is. And I think that in those kind of circumstances, like, the Biden's strong preference, I think, is to speak in a way that unifies Democrats, right? One of the things that Trump is really distinctive about as a political figure is that he is really happy to, like, plant his flag on a hill where his level of party support is, like, very uncertain, right? So he'll just be like, Vladimir Putin, that's my best friend. You know what I mean? And then he's like, he commits himself to that, you know, to the point where it's like, ultimately, if you want to, like, exit the Republican Party, you can keep focusing on this. But, like, I am setting the course. And Biden, that's, like, not his philosophy. It's not, like, a veteran senator's, you know, general kind of approach to things. And I think it's made it challenging to be, like, if you were tasked with the job of, like, let's write a strong speech to, like, carry, let's distribute talking points to our allies in the media to talk about how Trump fucked up the pandemic. It's like, I could write some talking points like that. You could write some talking points like that. I think the White House communications team could write some talking points like that. But we probably wouldn't all, like, write the exact same things. And, well, you would need to have, like, a level of, I just, like, you have to decide what you want to say, you know, like, what the problem is. And it's true. I, to me, like, this is what Biden has been worst at. Like, isn't, like, COVID per se, but, like, steering the ship when, like, Democrats writ large are not just unanimous on something.
So this is probably a good place to drop the paywall for free subscribers. If you're enjoying the conversation and you want to hear Matt's, I think it's a really good idea for how Joe Biden could get people to refocus on how badly Trump botched things, you can go to politics.fm and upgrade your subscription.